No matter where you are, it's Texas Standard Time on this 24th day of March 2021. I'm David Brown. Great to have you with us. 1 year, it was March 2020, that Texas went into lockdown mode as a health emergency was declared statewide. Texas began receiving vaccines in mid-December, and until now, eligibility was restricted to a handful of groups: healthcare workers, people ages 50 and older, those with certain underlying health conditions who are 16 or older, and employees of schools and daycare centers. Yesterday, with Texas closing in on 10 million doses of the COVID-19 vaccine administered, state health officials effectively launched a new chapter in the story of Texas's fight against the pandemic, announcing that starting Monday, all Texans, 16 and over, will be eligible to receive a COVID-19 vaccine. But there are plenty of questions. Where to sign up? Will there be enough vaccine to go around? Any special accommodations for the most vulnerable? Jennifer Shuford is chief state epidemiologist and member of Texas's COVID-19 expert vaccine allocation panel. Dr. Shuford, welcome to the Texas Standard.
Thank you so much for having me today.
What is behind the state's decision to go ahead and make everyone 16 and over eligible to get a COVID-19 vaccine? And does this effectively throw out of the window all of the work that the vaccine allocation panel has done until now? You're just sort of starting over with a blank slate.
No, we're not planning on starting over with a blank slate. But, you know, the work that we've done has really impacted Texas. We know that so far, over 6 million Texans have already received at least one dose of vaccine. And like you said, we're almost at 10 million doses administered. And these Texas vaccine providers are doing an amazing job of getting vaccines into people's arms. But some of them are telling us that they're making their way through all of their priority groups, that 1A, 1B, and 1C groups, and that they have to then slow down their vaccination process because they haven't had clear direction on who to vaccinate next. But there's clearly other vaccine providers who have not made it through all of their priority populations and haven't had to slow down at all. But, you know, I don't want to get too dramatic on you, but Texas is in a race against time here. We know that there are those mutated forms of the virus, the variants, are increasing in prevalence across the nation and definitely here in Texas as well. And these variants are more transmissible and they can cause more severe disease than the COVID-19 viruses that have been circulating previously. And so having this increase in prevalence and variants can really threaten the lives and health of Texans, as well as the integrity of our healthcare infrastructure. So it behooves us to get people vaccinated as fast as possible.
Part, though, of having a panel decide who gets the COVID vaccine first was, of course, distribution and dealing with the fact that there are a limited number of doses. Has that fundamentally changed? Is there enough supply to go around given what we expect to be a rather high demand for the vaccine come Monday?
Yes, thankfully, we have seen a steady supply of vaccines coming into Texas. And our federal partners have told us that they anticipate sending us a steady amount of vaccine, even an increasing amount of vaccine over the coming month, probably about 1 million first doses per week. And this will allow us to just continue that pace of vaccination that we've seen across our state. In addition to that, you know, we're really hopeful that new vaccines will obtain emergency use authorization by the FDA, and that will increase our supply even further.
How do you answer concerns that this is not being equitably distributed across the state? I mean, there are populations of Texans who have been disproportionately disaffected, especially people of color. And there are concerns that with a rush of all Texans to get the vaccine come Monday, that there are those populations of Texans disproportionately affected who might get sort of blocked out of line as the rush begins.
I can tell you that that is a big concern of ours. We know that there are certain populations that you mentioned that really do bear a disproportionate burden of the disease during this pandemic. And we've been trying to reach those vulnerable populations by our process of allocation. So we've increased vaccine allocations to FQHCs, federally qualified health centers that do serve populations that are more vulnerable. And we've been trying to increase our vaccine allocations to local health departments as well, who are well aware of where the vulnerable populations are within their jurisdictions.
Dr. Shuford, some nuts and bolts questions here. What are the next steps for unvaccinated Texans? Is there a centralized list they turn to now to set up an appointment? What do they do?
So I think within their communities, there are many communities that have these big hub sites, you know, where they're really high throughput sites. And those all have their own process for signing up. But what we hope to do with this increasing amount of vaccine is get it into the hands of pharmacies and physicians' offices and places where community members know that they always go to get their vaccines, and there's already processes in place to get on a schedule and to get those vaccines. But in addition to that, we are at DSHS rolling out a new vaccine scheduler that we can use as the state health department and that local health departments can also use in order to have one system where people can get in, put their name on a waiting list, and then be notified when there is a vaccine available for them. And so that will roll out at the beginning of April for local health departments across Texas. And so we're excited about being able to offer that, as well as a call center for all those people that don't feel like they're technologically advanced enough to do all of this stuff online or have, you know, internet access to do that. So we're trying to fill in those gaps to make sure that every Texan can reach a vaccine.
Jennifer Shuford is chief state epidemiologist and member of Texas's COVID-19 expert vaccine allocation panel. Dr. Shuford, thanks again.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
For more on whether or not this eligibility expansion could strengthen or in some ways worsen the state's COVID-19 vaccine rollout, we turn to Vivian Ho. She's the Baker Institute Chair in Health Economics and Director of the Center for Health and Biosciences at Rice University. Professor Ho, welcome to the Texas Standard.
Thank you.
Your initial reaction to the state making the COVID-19 vaccine available for everyone over age 16 come March 29th?
When I first heard it, I thought, oh gosh, are we in for trouble in terms of having, a big rush of people trying to get the vaccine and not being able to access it. But we here in Houston, we all know someone who's driven an hour and a half to 2 hours out of the Houston area and gotten a vaccine who didn't meet the criteria. So in a sense, the state is actually just formalizing something that has been going on already.
Could that, though, that formalization in a way make it more difficult for people in communities of color, people who have been disproportionately affected, to access the vaccine? People who are on the front lines, for example, who have looked for a vaccine, they've been cleared to get one, but they haven't been able to find one.
Well, I think that we do have a problem in terms of disparities. And the major problem is that people who don't have access to the internet and good transportation are at a disadvantage, and people who are uninsured, because people who are insured are able to get into their doctor and get a vaccine very quickly now. So it's not just enough to sort of widen the criteria. What we need to do is put more resources and get much more creative in terms of delivering vaccines where these people live. So we need to go into these lower income zip codes, set up vaccination drives at, houses of worship. One of the things we can do now because of this criteria is we can send mobile vaccination teams to high-risk workplaces like grocery stores. The Metro bus drivers, I've been disappointed that they hadn't gotten vaccines yet. So there's lots of different things that you can do because of this criteria that will help.
It sounds like, though, that this is largely being left to local officials to implement, because I'm not hearing from state officials, we need you to do X, Y, and Z. This is potentially an opportunity, but it's up to local officials to take advantage of it, it sounds like.
You are absolutely right, and I wish the state would give more guidance, because the Biden plan, there's money out there for more vaccination drives, and it would help if we had the more official guidance of direct your vaccines toward these people who are at higher risk because there's greater disease in their communities, and get them covered first, because that's what's going to shut down the pandemic quicker.
Question about vaccine hesitancy. I think more and more of us now know someone, in fact, even firsthand, who has been eligible but has not yet gotten the vaccination because they'll say things like, I'm in no rush, or it's happening, more people are getting it, I'm going to take my time. What do you make of what's happening in Texas when it comes to that sort of reluctancy or hesitancy? It's a little hard to know where that's coming from and what that's all about.
It is coming from all different directions. I have personal case stories where I've seen, though, once close friends get vaccinated and people realize, oh, you know, this is something that's safe to do. And also, if my friends are vaccinated, they're going to be more hesitant about seeing me if I'm not vaccinated. Again, houses of worship, those are good places to build community trust. Any time that you can have local leaders doing things, we have to be very creative about how we're going to do this and realize that there's all sorts of reasons why that hesitancy might be there.
Vivian Ho is Baker Institute Chair in Health Economics and Director of the Center for Health and Biosciences at Rice University. Professor, thanks for speaking with us on The Standard.
Thank you.